another edition of the Weekend Report here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo with you. Chris Arps continues to have some issues at home. We'll let him talk about everything. We keep thinking we're going to get Chris back, and he's had some unfortunate things happen in his life and his family, and we're not going to get into that. But hopefully, Chris will be back with us next week. But in his absence, once again, week number three, third time's a charm.
Yeah, definitely.
Our good buddy Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher from the YouTube show of the same name, is going to be in Chris's seat again and joining us for the entire show. Of course, our producer, Zach Factor, is here. And joining us in studio for this entire first hour is our friend Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller. Thank you for coming in again.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you bet. Got lots to talk about this week. Always have lots to talk about as we recap the weeks. We are going to be playing the Weird News Challenge a little bit later on. We're also going to talk to our friend Jason Nelson, who has another great event coming up that we want to talk about. But lots of news of the week to get to. But before we do that, want to talk about Gabe's new episode on the on his YouTube channel and just the YouTube channel in general for people who are not familiar with it. So,
oh, sure, yeah,
so
definitely.
Tell folks about St. John the Philosopher YouTube show and what you do there.
All right. Well, like we've been saying, it's St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. You just do a quick search, and I'm the only one. That's where I talk about religion, culture, and politics from my unique perspective. See, I'm a black conservative and a Christian rocket scientist. So, you know, according to all of the
and he's not bragging. It's just facts.
It's just a fact.
It's just facts.
I actually don't like to bring it up most of the time, but
well, statistically, you don't exist.
Yes, exactly. So
that's true.
So I am kind of a unicorn here.
Yes.
So yeah. So you know, black people aren't supposed to be conservative, and Christians aren't supposed to be scientists, right? So that's you know, so that I like to challenge those preconceived notions about those things. And I come at it from what I consider sort of a deep level understanding of the thing. I like to go down to the real nitty gritty. Like we talk so often on the surface of all of the issues that surround our world, and what we really need to do is get down to brass tacks. What is it you actually believe? Why you believe it, and how does it apply to real life? So I try to tackle each one of the issues in a different way from that perspective, and sometimes I do it with a little bit of biting wit, which you might see in my latest addition to the show there, to the YouTube channel. It's called Poor Unfortunate Voters, and it's a bit of a play on something Annie Fry said earlier in the week, comparing Nancy Pelosi to Ursula.
Yes.
And how the leftist mantra just about is very similar to what Ursula sings about in her song "Poor Unfortunate Souls," where it's like, I, you know, all these poor people, and I'm just here to save them.
I'm here to save them.
Not really, though, because that's not what it's about.
Yeah, yeah. It puts on the front of wanting to save them, but has very devious intentions.
Yes, definitely.
What's them. What's the Reagan quote? The the scariest words in the English language are "I'm from the government and
I'm here to help."
Help.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it right there. So really, that's kind of where I'm coming from, I try to have a lot of fun with my videos. I put a lot of pop culture drops, movie drops, and sound bites and memes and
it's
all
great.
Things kind of sprinkled throughout, you know, just what could otherwise be, I guess, dry commentary for me.
I can't recommend it enough because it really does. You do a great job of keeping it usually under 15 minutes, more like 10 minutes, and sometimes even shorter than that, but really do get into... you get past the talking points and get into the issue, even in that relatively short amount of time. So you don't have to spend, an hour plus really delving into an issue, but you're still getting all the real good nitty gritty, all the real good information. So I can't recommend it enough. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. And the latest episode, The Poor Unfortunate Voters, Poor Unfortunate Souls, is phenomenal. I was a part of that conversation with Annie this week, and I want to get both of your thoughts on this because what sparked that conversation was we were, Keira Knightley was on with Ellen DeGeneres this week, and Ellen brought up, I guess Ellen had read her, an interview or had been brought to her attention that Keira Knightley had mentioned kids' movies that she doesn't let her 3-year-old daughter mm-hmm. watch.
Yeah.
And so Ellen asked her, what kids' movies do you not let your 3-year-old watch? And she said, Cinderella, because the story of Cinderella is a...
You're waiting on a rich poor, man to
yeah,
come
a poor,
save you.
Yeah, young woman waiting around for a rich man to come save her.
Right.
And of course... rousing applause, standing ovation for yeah. Keira Knightley. Oh, right. My God, we never thought of this. You're so smart. You're so right. Brilliant, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then Ellen says, any other ones? And she says, I hate to say this one because I actually loved the movie and I love the music in the movie, but The Little Mermaid. And Ellen says, why The Little Mermaid? And she says, don't give your voice up for a man. Mm-hmm. What a terrible message. And again, standing ovation for Keira Knightley. round of applause. And Annie and I were breaking it down like, look, Ariel saves Eric in that movie, saves his life.
It's the first time they meet.
Yeah.
That's their meet cute.
She saves his life.
Their meet cute.
Yeah, and she doesn't give her voice. She's doing everything she can. She's like fighting for love. It's proposed to her by somebody with devious intentions.
Yes.
She doesn't go and offer up her, like, I'll do anything for this man. I'll give away my voice. Like, it's not.
That's not
I don't
the
think
thing.
You're watching the right movie here, Keira Knightley. So, but anyway, yeah. your guys, Virginia, let's start with you.
Yeah, please.
Your thoughts on that mindset out of Keira Knightley. And then, of course, like I said, it's not just one crazy celebrity spouting this out there. She gets a standing ovation from the crowd at on Ellen's show, and you know there are people that were watching at home or in that audience that went, you know what, she's so right.
You go,
I'm not going to let my kids watch Cinderella or The Little Mermaid.
I was not one of them. Of course, I also wasn't watching that show, but
yeah, we weren't either. You
know, I feel the same way about this that I felt about when I heard about the religious groups that were burning the Harry Potter books.
Right.
Mm.
If you have not done a good enough job in teaching your children the difference between fiction and reality, then you really probably shouldn't be letting them out the door.
Right.
Right.
So as far as, you know, I don't let them watch. I mean, I don't let my young kids watch movies with a lot of profanity or with a lot of violence.
Sure.
Or, I mean, they're age appropriate.
Right.
Right.
But
Cinderella.
I mean, have you read the original Little Mermaid?
Oh, it's...
I mean, she died for a man. Do
yeah,
we not?
It's kind of dark.
It's very dark. A lot of those
All
Disney
of are,
movies are very
yeah,
dark.
Yeah.
The Grimm brother.
How yeah, does she exactly. feel about what, say, the character Elizabeth Swann did in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Which is her character.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you want to say there's somebody who's not setting a good example for my children, then you probably shouldn't watch movies at all, and you certainly
right.
shouldn't be in them or promote them.
Right.
I mean, there are very few movies that teach 100% good messages.
Right.
But if you haven't trained your children to watch these things and realize this is a story.
It's a fairy tale.
This is not who you are. You're not supposed to model your life after a cartoon
right.
person with a fishtail.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the things,
okay.
too, is that it kind of breaks the concept of the fairy tale, too, where the interpretation goes deep down into these specific actions of the characters, as opposed to it's a high-level thematic look at things, right? So
right.
so from a thematic standpoint, the Little Mermaid story is, you know, being willing to sacrifice for love. You know, that's or you know, you can look at it, you can
I'm
interpret it that way.
I'm kind of surprised that more on the left aren't defending the Little Mermaid, because in reality, I mean, isn't Eric like your typical beta male?
he just lets her do everything.
He kind of is, and yeah,
well,
I mean, that's kind of the point.
He needed to be rescued from the beginning.
Right,
yeah.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
You know, That's not what they see in that movie. It's like the movie is not about her giving up her voice for a man. Cinderella is not about a poor woman waiting around to be rescued by a rich guy.
Yeah.
It's like, have you watched these movies? And then again, fairy tale.
Right, right.
they're not meant.
They're not biographies.
You might
it's
as well
not
say,
a documentary.
Actually, you might as well say she was waiting around for her fairy godmother to fix everything.
Right.
Right? Because, right. you know, she was
yeah, but that's a woman, so
right?
it doesn't like, fit in the...
Yeah, she doesn't fit the narrative, right?
Right.
If you look at it that way. But no, I mean, each one of these characters pursued something. And I mean, that's the thing. The main character pursues something.
Right.
They face obstacles. Sometimes they make mistakes. They trust the wrong people. But in the end, they have to find it within themselves to overcome whatever it was that's in the way to accomplish their goal.
Mm-hmm.
So it just so happens that in a lot of these fairy tales, the goal of the protagonist is love. Right. So then the way the feminist will interpret it is, oh, the goal is to get a man. Like, you need this man. It's like, well,
right.
no, it's love, which is a different right. idea than just
right.
a man.
And,
you know,
again, fairy tale.
And a fairy tale. It's a,
it's a fairy tale.
Let the kids have their fairy tale.
The left has killed nuance.
No. I mean, in everything.
Wait.
We were talking on the Dave Glover show.
What about Beauty and the Beast?
We were talking on the Dave Glover show, right?
yeah. Go,
about,
sorry. Go
about nuance and about how comedy has been ruined.
Oh, yeah.
How
I was listening to that.
Yeah, about how...
They pulled the spine right out of it.
Comedians, good comedians, can pick on, you know, tell jokes about race and about status and, all, you know, everything. And the good ones can do it with nuance and get the message across that that this is a joke. This is they're being funny.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, they're not taking shots at but you're not even if you're a master of that nuance now. You're not allowed to. It's you know Jerry Seinfeld says he won't do his act on a college campus because
well, he can't.
And that's freaking Jerry Seinfeld again. I mean, like, who's more accepted than Jerry Seinfeld? But yeah, he can't do his or won't do his act on college campuses because the thought police, you know, he's afraid of them lashing out at him.
Now, what's the deal about college campuses?
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Really bad. That's bad.
And what's the deal with that? Virginia, you said something to Gabe a minute ago, and it made me think of something. When you said that he statistically doesn't exist, because he's a conservative black man and a scientist and a religious person, a church leader, all the things that are supposed to contradict each other.
Well, to be fair, I don't exist either.
That's what I was getting at. That's exactly where I was going.
Yep.
I have
the
many.
The Weekend Report is now a fictional show.
Yes. I have many women in my life. I work with Annie every day and Katie every day, and my wife. I have a teenage daughter, and all of them do not like to be labeled and told what they believe or told what to think, and over recent, more especially since the Brett Kavanaugh thing. I mean, even since the 2016 election. But then again,
his
with this,
parents know how many imaginary friends he has.
Right? Yeah, none of you exist.
Yeah.
I'm talking to no one. Am I even on the radio? But liberal pundit after liberal. Lawmaker is politician are on our TVs talking about what women will and won't stand for and what women why they're going to win in the midterms because women aren't going to put up with this conservative. Women are irate about Brett Kavanaugh. Women are.
Well, to be fair, but not for the reasons they're saying.
Right, well, right, but they're not. But they're not speaking for you. They're not.
No.
They're like they are. Is there anything more sexist than painting all of one gender with one broad brush and saying they all believe this? I mean,
and then crowning yourself the self-appointed spokesperson for them too.
Right.
You know,
right?
I've said that on a number of occasions that it's just. You talk about statistically not existing. I mean, I've spent 10 years in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I have an education. I have a family. I have everything that third wave feminists want me to believe I'm too oppressed to have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and I have these things because I worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have these things because I earned them. And part of that was because I grew up in a house where my parents never told me, you're not going to be able to get things because you're female.
Yeah, right.
I mean, my dad, speaking of, you know, Christian rocket scientists, my dad was a genetic researcher with a degree from Cornell.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And a young earth creationist.
Okay, well, there you
so
go.
So he didn't exist either.
Right.
but, you know, so I grew up with that mentality. And to this day, I think that when we were growing up, I'm not sure that my dad realized he had three girls. Because he would be out in the yard and be like, hey, come and look at this. And it would be whatever gross thing he dug up out of the yard.
Right, right.
Like, here, hold it.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up, and he was an entomologist by trade. So I mm-hmm. grew up with, you know, more bugs in my freezer than most people have seen in a lifetime. Right. And, but it never occurred to me to not excel in hard sciences or math because my dad never gave me the option. He never mm-hmm. said, oh, well, you're not going to be great at this because you're a girl. Right. I was always pushed.
It wasn't even part of the...
No, it wasn't part of the discussion. Right. It wasn't part of the... I was pushed into athletics. I was... And not because I didn't want to go, like, pushed unwillingly.
Right.
But encouraged yeah. more and yeah. and said, you know, well, okay, well, here's what you got on this paper. You probably could have done better. Mm-hmm. I know you could have done better. And that was... So that was what I grew up with. And so it never occurred to me to be less than.
Right.
Or
right.
to think that someone was making right. me less than.
Right. And it may not have occurred to many people who are turning on the television and then all of a sudden they're hearing a politician, mm-hmm. You know, standing there talking about what is right and wrong for women.
And what they should be thinking.
There are many women, I think, yeah, what they should be thinking. And many women that I know are looking at that and saying, "You don't speak for me,"
and they're
you don't get to assume,
and they're kind of sassy about it too.
It's a presumptive close. It's a like they state it as fact. Mm-hmm. Like this is what women want.
Right.
This women are outraged about X, mm-hmm. and we are going to women are going to vote for this because it's in their best interest. And when a woman doesn't go along with that, they're a traitor to their own gender.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's unbelievable.
If they're even acknowledged as people.
Exactly. Statistically non-existent. That's the theme of the first segment. We are all statistically.
Yep.
Some of us are statistically. All right. Take a break. Got to go. Plenty more with Virginia Cruda and Gabe Pfeiffer. Virginia's sticking around for this entire first hour, so don't go anywhere. More Weekend Report coming up next on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. It's that Perry Woods jam that Chris Arps would call the quiet storm.
Yep.
Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher from the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show in studio with us, and Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller, also in studio with us for this entire first hour. We are basically, this first hour is just, we're going to go big, long weekend review and just kind of try to get to all of the stories that happened this past
week. That's ambitious.
that's some big stuff.
Want to get both of your thoughts on this one. We started this week with all the fallout from Elizabeth Warren DNA test results.
Yes.
Gabe, what's your thoughts on this whole story? This whole crazy fight about Pocahontas and Native Americans.
Well, when Pocahontas came out with her Liawatha here and declared hashtag Me Sue, I decided that I wasn't going to take it seriously at all.
Yeah.
Now it does speak to something bigger in that she decided to profit off of the family stories that were being passed down.
Right.
So, the fact that, and I don't know, the tone deafness, I guess, of the whole ordeal is another aspect of it. But, oh, my gosh, it means nothing to me. It means nothing.
Yeah.
It really does.
I saw I'm drawing a blank on who it was. I think they were on Brian Kilmeade's show this week, and they were like, I want to take a DNA test. And they were like, she's only one 1,064. He's like, I think I can beat her.
I think I can beat her. Oh, wait.
I think it was like a contest.
Orrin Hatch.
No, Orrin Hatch said that he was a 1% T-Rex and 99% other dinosaurs.
That's pretty good. No, but, I know Lindsey Graham.
Oh, it was Lindsey.
Yeah, that's right.
I like the new Lindsey Graham
2.0 is a beast.
Lindsey. Yeah, the, Virginia said, I like the new Lindsey. He is the new Lindsey.
Yes.
He's. Let's get to that in one second.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
But Virginia, this is the world that we live in. That was dominating the news cycle
at
the beginning of this week.
Can I throw a wrench in all this?
Please do.
Because I actually have a little bit of sympathy for her here.
All right.
And that's because I've done the DNA thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that most of what my family had told me in the past was not exactly accurate.
Mm.
Like, we were, on my dad's side, so German that they changed our name, which is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
They did change our name from the German. However, we weren't really all German. Like, the number, it basically only carried down with the name. There mm-hmm. was a lot of other stuff mixed in.
Yeah.
So all I knew was about the German history. And then on my mom's side, we only knew about the Swedish history. And, you know, my grandfather being 6'2", blonde and light blue eyes. Nobody questioned it, right?
Right, right.
And then I do the DNA test, and it turns out I'm like maybe 5% German and 13% Swedish after this last update. So that's a little bit more than we thought. It was mm-hmm. originally about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like 85% English and Irish.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
unexpected.
It's a surprise. Yeah. No, I never tried to profit off my Swedish ancestry.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
And there was no, hey, they're calling us names because we're blonde and blue-eyed. And I realized that's not something that most people would be really upset about mm-hmm. and call names about. But, I mean, if you think about how much Irish immigrants were trashed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Italians, turn of the century.
Yeah.
And then like the a lot of it, having a German name in the early, you know, in the 30s and
yeah.
40s, that
oh,
was
man.
Not
sure.
necessarily
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Right.
So I mean, but I understand how, you know, believing something for years and then having the facts come and say, hey, that's not exactly. I get that.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
but I think Gabe made an important point when he said, you know, you don't use that to profit.
You didn't profit right. off of it.
And, you know, again, there's not much to profit off of.
Right.
It's not considered, because all of those things are just considered part of the white.
Except that she goes out and,
thing.
You know, pretends to, or portrays herself as a person of color and,
yeah.
and acts like she is familiar
well, right.
with that struggle.
Oh, yeah.
And
the history,
hard to believe.
The history is hard to argue that. I mean, you know, she likes to point out, well, I didn't get my professorial position because of
right.
this, blah, blah, blah. But
right.
you look at the history of it, you know, she was touted in various things as a person of color.
Right.
She ticked the box of Native American on it. Hey, look, I'm actually genetically closer to the Queen of England, okay, than she is to a Native American.
Right.
So you know, because I have 13% of
Virginia,
British.
Who,
so, you know, come on.
Who won? Forget about how ridiculous it is. Who came out more favorably in the public opinion? Trump, Virginia.
you're looking at your sheet.
You,
yeah, obviously Virginia.
Elizabeth Warren, Trump, Elizabeth Warren, or was it a wash? Did it affect no one?
You know, I think that the people who are mad at Trump about making a big deal out of this, they're probably still mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as Elizabeth Warren, the only point I made about it is what she did was essentially, it would be like if you went had a friend who had been bragging for years and years about how they were a millionaire. I got $1 million tucked away. And then they show you a bank statement that says their balance is around $500. That's basically
right.
what she did
yeah.
to
yeah.
her constituents.
Yeah.
And to say that, you know, it's just false advertising.
Agreed.
It doesn't make her look good, but I don't think her fans really care.
Right.
Now, one thing, though, that kind of sideways to this was when the Cherokee Nation came out with their statement about this.
Yeah, that was.
And now, yeah, that was an interesting thing altogether because it does point out, you know, concerns they actually had about this type of thing, about people claiming
yeah.
Native
yeah.
ancestry and then, you know, attempting to use genetic. They don't really participate in that stuff
mm-mm.
because they're worried about it.
Right.
So one of the things that caught me was the liberal backlash to the Cherokee statement.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
now they
the
you
Cherokees
know,
the, don't get to tell people who are and who aren't Indians. The, like, what?
The leftists have come
Native
full circle
Americans,
and gone full on, you know, anti-Native here.
Right.
Because they're saying, don't you know who's gonna be protecting you, and you're just doing the bidding of this Nazi
that...
here and oh my God. They were okay. savaged on
Ursula.
Social media too. So
yeah
exactly. Exactly.
I wanna keep moving here.
Sorry.
But no, you're fine. No, it's good.
Stop talking now. No.
But this kind of tacks on to that liberal lunacy, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
More reports came out this week about Democrats being poised to make a push for impeachment of the president if they win the House. Virginia, is advertising that message that you're going to go for impeachment if you are able to gain power, is that going to get the Democrats more votes? Or is that going to turn people away?
You know, that's a tough one. I think that it might get a few more Democrat votes if they mm-hmm. think that, you know, because a lot of the problem with midterms is
turnout.
You get people on both parties who just think we're kind of stuck in the rut that we're in and we can't really change it till we get a new president. And if they see that glimmer of hope, hey, maybe we might get a new president. They
mm-hmm.
might get a few more Democrats. But I also think that's a great way to get Republicans out to
motivate.
Stop you.
Yeah. Conservatives. Yeah.
Because that's another thing. Republicans don't generally turn out in midterms. But if they think they need to protect their tax cuts and they think that because usually complacency is the issue.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Because, hey, we're in power. We're doing pretty good. We don't need to make any changes. So they don't vote. What a lot of times they don't realize is that if you don't vote, then sometimes you get the change that you didn't want.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's something that they need to think about. And when you have a threat, like an actual credible threat in this case, because... There are a lot of Democrats who won't push for impeachment, but they'll vote for it if it's on the table.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They're not vocal about it like Maxine Waters is.
Right.
They're not vocal about
it.
But
support
it. But you know what?
Like a veto.
If the vote comes down, you know where Chuck Schumer is going to stand.
Sure.
He's not going to push it.
Right.
He's not going to demand that we impeach this president unless something
But he's
going to
say,
happens.
Look, this is what all my people, you know, this is what our party's calling for.
From,
and I'm going to support my party.
From the House, he'll vote for it.
Is impeachment a good way to... mobilize voters, Gabe?
I think it's kind of like what Virginia said. It'll probably end up as a wash. You know, you'll turn out more Democrats, but you'll probably turn out just as many more Republicans. So it's kind of moot. Now, if they actually attempt it, it's just going to stagnate the progress that we've been making legislatively because, you know, they won't do anything positive and it won't go anywhere because, you know, in order to actually enact impeachment, you need, what, 2/3 Senate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
they
a lot.
Get it.
Yes,
they, and,
will, they will never get it.
They
but
will
they
never
will make
get
it. A, but they'll make a thing
they'll
about
make
it.
A big stink about
and,
it.
And you know they'll
well,
get it. They'll get a vote.
They filed,
and they'll get.
They've filed articles of
right.
impeachment in the House a few times
right.
already.
But if they
this
have power, then
anywhere.
They can get a vote on it, and
yeah.
they can make a bigger. Yeah. They can advance it further than they've been able to advance it. I don't know. I think that it will motivate some liberal voters to get out there. But I think it's going to motivate more conservative voters and more, not even more conservative
moderates.
Voters, more moderates that just don't want to deal with that drama.
Mm-hmm.
They're dramaed out.
Yeah.
The people in the middle are just, they're sick of the fighting. They're sick of the drama in Washington, D.C., and they don't want to go through
a two-year
especially knowing,
news cycle
most,
on
especially
impeachment.
Knowing that they really won't be successful. So it's just a lot of noise, and I think that just really turns people off.
And we're doing good.
Well, it's like every 24 hours, there's a new thing that they're supposed to be outraged about. It gets exhausting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then it doesn't – and then they just – yeah.
It fizzles,
if they, see
they
an,
move on.
If they see a way to put an end to that, there are people who are going to step out and vote for that just to stop it.
Just wait for the next tweet.
Right.
Right.
Let's talk about Jamal Khashoggi. He's the journalist disappeared at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. More and more evidence pointing to the facts that he was, well, still not facts, but allegedly mm-hmm. murdered by the Saudi government. If this is proven to be the case, Gabe, how how delicate of a situation is this for the president, and what kind, if any, action can he take against the Saudis?
Well, between doing nothing and you know, bombing the snot out of them, we've got to if, you know, if this proves to be something that the Saudis participated in, we have to make an overture towards a penalty. You know, otherwise, you know, we look weak. We look like we're not actually supporting journalistic freedom, all kinds of other things. You know, we're aiding and abetting, you know,
a United States resident.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so there's all kinds of things tied in there. But at the same time, because of our tight relationship with the Saudis, diplomatically, militarily, economically, and the fact that, you know, even though they're not a huge oil state anymore in terms of the percentage that they provide, they're enough that fear of it could cause stagnation. We already saw a little bit of a reaction on the street last week, right? So we could, you know, let's say impose some sort of economic sanctions, but on some level we end up shooting ourselves in the foot because we increase our own fuel prices, which increases our own prices for everything, because everything requires fuel either to be made or to transport it.
And so you have to end the fear of creating more instability in the Middle East.
And then there's
if you do go over there.
Anytime a president touches anything in the Middle East, there's a lot of nervousness there. And there should be.
It's a delicate situation. I mean,
agreed.
I agree that you need to do something.
Right. But then what?
But it does look, I mean, it does look more and more like this, you know, that the Saudis are good for it. And this was a very bad thing. And you can't let that happen to United States residents. You can't let that happen to a member of the media. I mean, you can't let that to happen to human beings, period.
Right.
But there's even more investment in it than that for the president. And he can't look weak, and he can't look like, well, they're our friends.
Right.
They threw me a party when I came over there the first time, so they can, you know, they get a free one, you know. So, all right, well, we'll keep our eyes on that story, and by this time next week, I'm sure we'll have more information and be able to discuss it further. But right now, we need to take a quick break. Plenty more Weekend Report coming your way. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, Gabe Pfeiffer in studio, and for Chris Arps for one more week. Producer Zach Factor in the studio as well. And one more segment with Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller. Virginia, before we lose you, what are some of the latest articles on the Daily Caller? What are you up to? And tell people how they can follow you and read your stuff.
Okay. We are at thedailycaller.com, and actually yesterday I covered firsthand the debate, the Missouri Senate debate with Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley. So I have a couple pieces up on that. You can follow me personally at VA Cruda on Twitter. That's pretty much it.
We're very good.
Pretty easy to find. I don't hide.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that debate. we were talking a little bit off air about it. You said not necessarily any hard hitting questions.
No.
Tell us about that. What type of questions were asked? What was the audience like? And who do you think did better?
Well, it's kind of a both of them pretty much stayed on script almost the whole. I mean, Josh Hawley is watching. I mean, he knows the history of Claire McCaskill and the Missouri Senate, and the fact that she generally wins because not because she's a good campaigner or because Missouri loves her, but because at the last minute her opponents tend to put both feet in their mouth at once.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in 2012.
Oh my gosh.
I was there when that happened, and don't get me wrong, I love Todd Akin. I mean, I've known him since I was about 12. We went to church together.
Wow.
Fun story. Jim Talent taught my 7th grade Sunday school class.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. I fell into politics naturally. But no, but as far as Claire McCaskill, I mean, she doesn't really reach Missouri. And I think that's one of the main points that Josh Hawley did a good job in driving home, is that she doesn't represent Missouri, and she admitted to it In fact, she said she made a comment about how when Missouri votes for her, they vote for her to represent them, but they also vote for her to make the decisions that she feels is right. Well, the problem is Missouri voted, what, 20 points over for
yes.
Trump?
Yeah.
And she is not voting with him. She right. is voting with Schumer 90% of the time. Plus, right. she voted with Obama 98%
of the time. So it's hard to make that
claim time.
That you're
and yeah, so
representing
she's not,
Missouri voters when... Yeah.
She's not really representing Missouri voters. And then you look at things like... And now they didn't really ask her any tough questions. And I was actually surprised by this. They didn't address the Project Veritas video at all. Hmm. They didn't address the fact that she was essentially exposed for, you know, taking dark money.
Yeah.
And dark money was the reason that she voted against Kavanaugh,
right.
which they also didn't bring up.
What she says, anyway.
Because wow. Missouri really supported Kavanaugh's confirmation. From what I understand, Missouri was in favor of and was kind of shocked by the way he was treated. And she voted against him because of his position on dark money, which it turns out she was taken to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wasn't NPR one of the sponsors
yeah.
of the...
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to ask about Brett Kavanaugh,
right.
you're not going to bring up the hypocrisy of the dark money statement. You're mm-hmm. not going to bring up Project Veritas. I mean, it sounds like...
They talked about healthcare a lot.
Okay.
And that was the big thing.
Because they think it was a loser for Hawley. Actually.
Well, yeah. They think it's a loser for Hawley. But... because of the lawsuit against Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
and the one good point I think he made there was he brought up the fact that Claire McCaskill voted to gut over $700 billion from Medicare to fund Obamacare, and she tried to characterize it as no, that was just filling the donut hole for Medicare Part D. And Hawley came right back. He said, you can put as much lipstick on it as you want, but
right.
it doesn't change what it is.
Right.
Did
you feel like it was a one-sided, as far as the questions were concerned?
I think the questions were very one-sided. There weren't really any hard-hitting questions asked of Claire.
But there were of Josh?
Yeah. They asked him about the lawsuit and how did he defend that because mm-hmm. wasn't it going to take away money for pre-existing conditions? And he said he was upfront about it. He said, look, I think that there are other ways to ensure that people with pre-existing conditions are covered. And he talked about something called reinsurance, which I don't really understand, but I know that he has promoted it before.
Mm-hmm.
And McCaskill appeared to agree with that, that hey, this could work. But she would not come out and say that she would support any insurance coverage plan for pre-existing conditions that was not Obamacare. And he really drove that home, too, that,
right.
hey, you say you're all for, you know, covering pre-existing conditions, however we can get it done. You're going to be bipartisan about it and all this. But you're really just opposed to anything that's not Obamacare. And she really couldn't answer that directly.
Do you have a gut feeling at this point? Just forget about any polls. I mean, some polls have Claire up a little bit. Some have
yeah.
Josh up a little bit. Some have it as a dead heat. Just your gut feeling of the wins of Missouri voters. Does somebody have the momentum right now? Or is it really that toss-up that everybody keeps on talking about?
You know... All things being equal, it should be Hawley's race to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. Claire McCaskill appears to have 9 lives. and that's speaking from watching. I mean, she should not have won in 2012.
Mm-mm.
She should not have won in 2006.
Mm-mm.
I mean, she is not. I don't think that she represents Missouri for a number of reasons. And I grew up in the state. I don't live in Missouri now, but, you know, I've been a part of Missouri politics
sure.
for a long time. And I just don't see her representing. I mean, you listen to the things that she talks about even. And it's an election year. So obviously she's speaking from the middle, even though that's not where she lives.
Right. It's
but
where
Missouri
she lives
is
every
not,
election year.
But, yeah, and that's what I mean. Missouri is not a middle ground state. you know, as much as people like to call Missouri purple, Missouri is red with two blue cities.
It's definitely red right now.
Yeah. And especially with the support for Trump. And she has not been. So if you see a reflection of like the same kind of voter turnout that we had in 2016, I don't think she can win.
Yeah.
Because Hawley knows better, I think, than to. He's not going to go off script. He's not going to slip. And the danger is that he appears a little bit robotic when he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think
that helped him last night because Claire lost her temper a couple of times.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And she didn't she didn't yell, but she kept saying, well, it's kind of frustrating that. But then she never really countered it with an actual point.
Right.
She did say that Hawley's campaign had a tortured relationship with the truth. And then the next words out of her mouth confirmed that what he had said was, in fact, true.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that.
He said something about the fact that she had voted for a reduction in troop funding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she said, well, that's just not true. And then she said, that reduction in troop funding was agreed upon by both parties.
Right. So she voted for it.
But you voted for it.
You voted for it, and that's what his statement
was. That's what I said.
Yeah, he didn't say that it wasn't bipartisan.
Right.
He just said that you voted for it, which you did.
Yeah. Gabe, do you have a gut on this, like, as far as momentum? Did one of the candidates have it over the other?
I'm just going to be honest. It's hard to divorce my preference from my feeling on it right now. Just,
right.
Well, and also, you know, the fact that a lot of the people I talk to are, you know, are just, you know, right-leaning to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had some moderate friends who were talking about it, I'd say that I was feeling, you know, Hawley was kind of getting there, but I haven't heard from moderates at all, which is interesting because, you know, there's, you know, obviously they're moderates, they're not doing all this political wonky stuff,
right.
you know eventually they'll just show up on election day and pull whichever lever occurs to them, I guess, but you know, sometimes you get a sense for where the moderates are standing, but right now they're just so quiet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it could just be because the partisans are so loud. Mm-hmm. In this day
and
age.
True.
So it's tough to hear, you know, the mouse squeaks.
There is
there.
One other problem that Hawley has, and that's the one that the number of conservatives who are still mad about the primary.
Yeah. So I wanted to get into that
a little bit.
Okay. I wanted to get into that a little bit. So, you know, on paper, Josh Hawley should be a slam dunk no-brainer for anybody that is obviously conservative or Republican, but anybody that even may just lean slightly right, you know, middle right. But he has some issues with some people, like you said, people upset about the primary, him getting the money ahead of the primary, him not debating his primary opponents, the stuff with former Governor Greitens. And then also, my opinion is I've seen him in person, you know, speak, he doesn't, in my opinion, he's not inspiring.
No.
He doesn't go up there and speak and rile up the crowd and get people fired up to go. And I don't know that all these issues are enough to lose the race, but it's enough to keep it closer than it should
be. Yeah. That bothers me on another level. I mean, for the same reason that I think that like the big churches that have like the popular music and stuff to draw people in, and then have a watered down message so that they can keep them in there. To me, I don't think that you should need a fanfare and to necessarily be. I mean, I get that you need to be a little inspired to go out and vote, but I think sometimes the message just has to be enough,
right?
And Hawley's doing a decent job, and at least keeping that message consistent. Yep.
All right, we got to take a break. We got a whole nother hour of the Week in Report coming up, though, so don't go anywhere. Thank you, Virginia Cruda, for spending this first hour with us. We will talk to you again very soon here on the Week in Report. Taking a break, don't go anywhere. Plenty more to go. It is the Week in Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome welcome into hour number two of the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with producer Zach Factor and Gabe Pfeiffer, the host of the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show. Go to YouTube.com, type in St. John the Philosopher. The only one there is Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And check out all of his videos on religion, culture. There's one other.
Politics. Yep.
All the great videos. I cannot recommend enough. All around 10, 15 minutes.
At the most.
And yeah, and you get into the topics just deep enough to get past all the talking points and really get people thinking about all the big issues happening right now. So go to YouTube, St. John the Philosopher, and check out all of Gabe's videos. They are awesome. We are going to do, this is the beginning of the second hour when we normally do the Weekend Review Part 2. We usually start each hour with the Weekend Review. However, last hour with Virginia Cruda, we basically did the Weekend Review for the entire hour.
Yeah.
But there's still so many topics we didn't get to. So we're going to keep on going and try to get to everything that happened in this crazy week. Coming up in the next segment, we have America's favorite game show, the Weird News Challenge. I know everybody is clamoring for another episode of that,
yes.
And we will have that for you in just a few minutes. But some things that we didn't get a chance to talk about with Virginia. Oh, also, by the way, go to 971talk.com, click on podcasts, mm-hmm. and if you missed any of that first hour with Virginia, you can hear it again, or you can hear it for the first time, or you can hear it again if you want to. And you can listen to the show right there on the website, or you can download the podcast absolutely free and take it with you. Again, that's 971talk.com. Click on podcasts. You'll see all the shows here on the radio station. The Weekend Report's right at the top of the list there. And download that podcast and take it with you for your entire week. So now, Weekend Review Part 2. Gabe, wanted to talk to you about this story. This story did not make national headlines. However, mm-hmm. it grabbed my attention big time. Calls for Susan Collins, of course, the Republican senator that was sort of the crux.
She was the
linchpin vote, basically, in
Definitely.
The Brett Kavanaugh thing.
And she summed up her vote beautifully.
Yes, she did.
As long as it was, and
so right. She did. She took her time with it, but it ended up being for good reason.
Yeah.
Calls for Susan Collins' honorary degree be rescinded have been made by nearly 1,500 St. Lawrence University alumni and faculty. They say the university needs to do this in support of truth and for all of the victims of sexual assault. So they are saying that by Susan Collins' actions of voting for Brett Kavanaugh
mm-hmm.
and putting him in the Supreme Court, she has disqualified herself for the honorary degree that was bestowed on her just last year
wow.
by this university.
Yeah.
And they say that they need to do this in support of truth and for all the victims of sexual assault.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
So the headline could also read, leftists are vindictive and petty.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
You know,
that's the truth.
It's pretty much how it goes. And it's par for the course these days, where basically a political disagreement, it automatically translates into moral turpitude. And it kind of speaks to how our politics has become something divorced from I want to say what it used to be, but the more I look at it, the more it feels like it's just naked
yeah.
of what it actually has been,
right.
you know, kind of thing. Where
that's a great point. Has the Trump effect and where we are now in politics, it seems like we are at an all-time low, that we have the partisan divide has never been bigger. Is that because, like you just said, has the Trump effect just exposed what has always been there, or are we truly at a lower point than we've ever been?
Yeah, it's a good question, and you know, in the back of my head, I go back to something I highlighted in one of my videos was the presidential campaign, I think it was of 1800, where where they were talking about, well, if my opponent wins, then women's virtue will be violated in the streets, and blood will run through every city, and your children will be writhing on the pike outside of. No, seriously, these I'm almost quoting here.
Yeah, right.
You know, and another guy called his opponent a hermaphroditic half breed. I mean, it was. I'm serious. This was how bad it was, and we're talking 1800. You know, just not too long after independence. You know, and the Constitution was ratified. So
dirty politics have been there for a long time.
It's been here for a long time. I think at some point we tried to clean it up a little bit, class it up a little bit, and, you know, well, the gentleman from this and the gentleman from this. And,
right.
You know, but of course—
My friend from the great state of—
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, on the sly, they'd go out and they have a duel, you know, with pistols. Right. So— It may just be that it's a little more in your face now. You know, we our weapons of warfare, our rhetoric, and it's just gross. I think the bigger issue is that the dirt of politics has filtered down into the populace, mm-hmm. so that we view each other as immoral beings because of our political differences.
Yeah, I feel like it's always been there and it's always been bad. But I think that we have hit maybe not a new low, but a low that we haven't been at in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at least it seems like in the more recent history, maybe not, you know, 200 years ago, but it seems like in the more recent history of, you know, 30, 40 years ago, as much as the divide was there and Republicans and Democrats didn't get along, If there was a bill or a proposal, you know, that was obviously good for the country.
Right.
It was pretty easy for them to come together. They didn't fight over everything. They kept their powder dry for the big issues. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, they didn't fight over court nominations, yeah. and cabinet nominations. You know, they didn't. Unless there was
something
stark,
seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg getting 97-2, you know, even as recently as Barack Obama with Ilana Kagan and Sotomayor both getting, you know, well over 60 votes to get, you know, to go into the Supreme Court. And then just, you know, all the cabinet here, you know, the cabinet nominations the president had right after he was elected in 2016, you know, just— It's just like they fight about everything.
Yeah.
They never let this is not worth our time. We're going to focus on this. No, yeah. It's literally everything they fight over. And they dig in and they act like every issue and every appointment and every nomination and every amendment and every bill and everything that could come up is life or death.
Yeah.
And they just obstruct. I'm mostly talking about the liberals right now, but who knows? The Republicans, if they lose power, they could be just as bad.
It's possible. Although we've seen them out of power for the past 8 years,
right.
You know, prior to these two. And yes, but they complained about everything.
But what's going to be their reaction?
Well, yeah.
We haven't seen.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't seen the post-Trump out of power Republican
right.
Party
we haven't
yet.
Seen
it
the
may, po- be, it
yeah,
may be different.
We
that's
haven't
true.
Seen what the reaction would be. And I think there'll be a lot of Republican and conservative voters and supporters out there that will want the Republican Party to give it right back to the Democrats.
Yeah.
But then if you do that, you know, you're kind of being hypocritical because, you know, you can't point out why they are so wrong with their behavior and this obstruction tactic, mm-hmm. and then go and do it too. And just use the argument, well, you did it first.
Like, yeah, you know, exactly. That's 5-year-old.
That's
thinking.
Not good enough for me.
7-year-old thinking.
That's
maybe.
Not good enough for me. But yeah. I do feel like we are in a spot now that we haven't been at maybe ever, certainly in a long time, that we just fight about everything. We make everything so dramatic. Everything is life or death. Everything. Is got every issue has got the soul of the country at stake.
Yeah.
You know, and even when there's something that is mutually beneficial or sort of a common sense thing, it's almost like a Democrat right now, because they're the party not in power, they can't even go along with something that's proposed by a Republican, even if it's common sense, because they feel like they can't put that on their record. Yeah. They feel like they can't even look like they were support. You know, it could be a bill about puppies are cute. You know, let's pass an amendment that says, or pass a bill that says puppies are cute, but it was raised by a Republican senator, so Democrats can't sign on to it because they don't want their name associated with anything that.
Well, what's funny is, you know, I can almost imagine the counter rhetoric, because that's the thing that would make all the
right,
headlines.
It'd
be like, well, are you saying that the puppy piddling and pooping in the middle of the carpet is cute? Is this filth? What the Republicans
stand
for?
The one ugly puppy in the world, hold it up and go, is this cute? You call this cute? I mean, it's seriously. So I don't know. I feel like we have I feel like we're at an all time low in this stuff. In this, you know. What started this conversation, the Susan Collins thing, you know, another part of that statement that the university, St. Lawrence University said when they asked her, the faculty and staff and alumni asking the university to rescind her honorary degree. Another part of that statement was, we ask that the university revoke this honorary degree as we find that she is not deserving of it in the face of her recent actions.
Right.
Again, just
like she did something illegal.
Yeah.
Or immoral. And that's right. The thing. They've made it an immoral or a moral judgment that if you support a conservative, that you are an immoral person.
Right.
And that infects everything. So that's kind of how they see it. And that's regardless of what actual truth or actual justice would say. You know, and it's very interesting that, you know, their partisanship flies in the face of reality so often.
Right. Want to get your thoughts on this story. After winning his court case against Stormy Daniels this week, the president created controversy by calling her horse face in a tweet. What was your reaction to the president's tweet, and what are your thoughts on this story overall?
Well, on Twitter, I suggested somebody, you know, distract him with a laser pointer because he can't leave well enough alone.
Oh.
And, hey,
amen.
Everybody, this is what happens when you don't teach your children how to win with grace.
Yes.
This is literally what happens.
Right.
Because it's like, hey, I won. Hey, you know, it's even kind of funny that all the people who sent their GoFundMe money to Stormy Daniels are basically going to be paying for my lawyer. That's kind of funny.
Right.
But I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm going to let everybody else do it.
Couldn't have been a bigger victory. Like, the judge basically came out and said that Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels' lawsuit was frivolous. It was a waste of time for the court and for all the lawyers involved, and it was so frivolous and such a waste of time that Stormy Daniels has to pay Donald Trump's attorney's fees.
Yes.
Which is the biggest slam dunk. We were talking to Chet Pleben earlier this week on the Dave Glover Show, and he said that judges very rarely go that extra step of saying that you need to pay for the legal fees because of how frivolous this is, because normally a lawsuit has some validity to it. The judge made the determination that there was no validity to this lawsuit and couldn't have ruled more overwhelmingly in favor of the president.
Yep.
But nobody knows that. Because
we're talking horse face.
We're talking horse face because he goes on Twitter and he name calls
and he steals
defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah. You know, what's very interesting, too, about that. And again, nobody noticed this. As part of that judgment, the judge said something very interesting about how we're supposed to read tweets. Like he literally made a statement about how you're supposed to read. He's like, you know, that there is this common understanding about the use of hyperbole and that, you know, certain things are supposed to be taken from context as being not. It's not supposed to be taken as a literal truth, but as a thematic truth. You know, things like basically he gave the primer on how to read Donald Trump's tweets in the proper way so that you don't come away with her hair on fire all the time. And it was at that portion would have been really interesting to highlight by his surrogates, because it would give credence to the relative calm that we read his tweets and compare it to the hair on fire hysteria that comes from the way people when they want to read it literally.
Yep.
And the judge is saying, don't.
Right.
You can't, and it's common knowledge that that's how you're supposed to take this communication. But all that got lost because of horse face.
Yeah, almost out of time. Just a few seconds left in this segment, but we won't get into it this week. But I imagine next week, one of the main discussion points on this show is going to be this Guatemalan caravan that is heading our way. Just what are your what's your premonition on how big of a deal and how big of a story this is going to become over the next couple of weeks?
Well, it's going to be a big deal until it isn't.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because the news cycle lasts so – it's so short now that I think we'll talk about it for maybe a week or two. As the closer it gets and once they actually get to the border and all that stuff, it'll be a big deal. But then it'll die on the vine.
Yeah. I hope the president sticks to his guns.
Same.
I hope he doesn't let him in. I hope he – detains and deports.
Yep. The border is his job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. All right. Time to take a break. When we get back, it is time for the Weird News Challenge, America's favorite game show, right here on the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. If you lose me, you lose everything. All right, welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, Gabe Pfeiffer, and for Chris Arps, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher. Check out the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show. Producer Zach Factor, of course, in the studio as well. And mentioned earlier that Skip Weber is unable to join us this week, so I went out into the hallways and I recruited once again our friend Trish Gazelle.
Returning champ, you should say, Trish Gazelle.
KEZK 102.5. That is right. Trish has played this game once, and she won.
Yeah.
So she knows what she's doing.
Not to intimidate you now, Gabe, but I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm really good
came in hot with the trash talk and everything, man.
She opened the door and said, you ready to get your ass kicked? I love it.
Fire.
That was the first time I met him, too.
Yeah.
Setting the tone.
I said my name after.
Yeah, right. Very nice to meet you, too, Ms. Gazelle.
Yes, okay.
I shouldn't talk so big, because that means I'll probably go down in flames.
I don't know. History would not say. You know, Zach made it pointed out a couple weeks ago, everybody that's ever come in and played like as a guest, mm-hmm. not a regular, has won.
Yep.
Yes.
So every guest you have in
wins. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Maybe you guys are just too comfortable.
Maybe that's it.
I think so.
So,
I won my first one, but then that next week, man, that got me.
Yep.
Oh, so since I'm not a guest anymore,
your second time might not be the charm.
We'll see.
Zach, you know what? I will say this. Zach is still not on the scoreboard.
Right.
So man.
That's okay.
It could be your time.
He plays every week and still doesn't have a victory.
It's okay. So I'm not used to winning.
This could be his. This could be his.
Now, I'm sorry. Is the theme of the game like events that happened this week?
That's
right.
That is right.
I just wanted to make sure.
It's called the Weird News Challenge. I am shocked that you haven't heard of it because it is America's favorite game show.
Yes. No, I knew that people are talking about it. I just forgot.
People are clamoring for the home edition to be on shelves before Christmas.
It's scheduled.
Yeah, we are in production now on the home edition, so whatever. This is how it works. I'm going to ask three questions. If you buzz in and you get the question right, you get the point. If you buzz in and get the question wrong, there is no negative points assigned to you because we encourage participation here on the Weird News Challenge. If there is a tie at the end of the game, we will go into our tie break system, which will ensure that we get a victor.
Now, we need to discuss the Katie Fitzpatrick rule.
I know. I was about to do that. So the Katie Fitzpatrick rule is, and I'll let you decide since you're the guest, Trish, the Katie Fitzpatrick rule, which is hated by Skip Weber, is that the question has to be finished before anybody can buzz in.
I don't really care. I mean...
Do you want to be able to buzz in any time in the middle of the question, or do you want to have to wait till the question is complete before people are allowed to buzz in?
I think you can buzz in anytime.
Anytime. All right.
Okay. Is that good?
Skip Weber would be all over. Somewhere in America, Skip Weber is smiling.
So he does not like
he
the
does
rule.
Not right. like the Katie Fitzpatrick rule at all. He is an outspoken opponent.
He's used the word stupid, actually.
All right. So test your buzzers. Zach?
Beep, beep, beep.
Beep, beep, beep. Test
beep.
Your buzzers. All right. I like it.
Whoop, whoop.
It's the sound of the police.
That's the sound of the police.
All right. Here we go. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode 19. Mm. Question number one. A new website is gaining popularity and making news. It's called whopaid99cents.com. To use it, you log on, then you pay 99 cents, and then what happens? What happens on the website? Whopaid99cents.com.
Beep, beep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say a message pops up that says you.
I that like would that. Be great.
I like that.
Oh
that
my
is
gosh.
Not right.
Why didn't I think of that?
That's a great guess. That is a great guess. Anybody want to take another shot at what happens on the website? Whopaid99cents.com. It's all there.
You get a list of other people who paid 99 cents.
You got to buzz in.
Oh, beep.
Yep.
You get a... You get a list of all the other people who paid 99 cents.
That is correct.
Oh,
you were close. Wow. Seriously?
It's called whopaid99cents.com. You log on.
I don't get it. What's the
point?
You
pay 99 cents, and then it is revealed to you, everyone else
who's was
paid
on the website.
99 cents.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
For
that's
what
it.
Reason? Oh, my gosh.
To make money.
That's it.
Because the website designer was
and
to
it's
troll
like,
the
it's
public
it's up to like tens of thousands
piece.
Of people that have done it.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
I mean, good for them.
Yep, and that's it. You
that
just get
dumb.
A list of who paid 99 cents.
They monetized curiosity.
Right?
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it.
What?
You simply get a list of other people, of everyone else that paid 99 cents.
Well, if I ever wanted to know what it felt like to be a rocket scientist that was clueless, you know, that was in awe of someone else's intelligence, that just happened.
Yeah, there you go.
You were close then.
Yeah, it was very
you
close.
Kinda,
you were.
Like, led
that was
me
good.
To
that was,
oh,
man. That was good.
Wow.
That was good. I like
all
that.
Right.
All right. All right, question number two. Believe it or not, for the past few years, a handful of Arby's fast food restaurants have served deer sandwiches during deer hunting season. This year, they're doing something different and serving a type of meat no fast food chain in this country has ever
Hoo-hoo.
Served. Yes?
Rabbit?
That is not correct. I finished the question yep. for Zach and Trish. Hunting season is your hint.
Oh.
Beep.
What type of... Yep.
Duck.
That is correct.
Oh, my God. That's
Trish
what I was going to say.
Sweeping it.
I
She's
was
already won.
Say duck.
Oh, my gosh.
She's already won.
That's
with
it.
Total
Wait,
guesses.
Did she beep? Did she beep?
Yes,
she did.
Oh, she beeped.
Yeah.
Both of my answers were total guesses, because I'll be honest. Usually I know all this stuff, because I look, but I've been watching Handmaid's Tale in the Studio this week.
Oh, no.
You've been binging, so you were.
While I'm on the air.
Wow.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
There's a handful of Arby's fast food restaurants that have been serving deer sandwiches for the past few years during deer hunting season. This year, during duck hunting season, they are going to serve duck sandwiches.
And you know why I know it's duck season? Because
Marty Link
is a big duck hunter.
He is a big duck hunter.
See, and that's where the Katie Fitzpatrick rule would have messed it up, because I buzzed in trying to take it, because I knew you only had one left
to stop her from.
But if I had heard the rest of the question, that the hunting season was a clue. I wouldn't have said rabbit, because nobody hunts rabbits.
Would you have said duck?
I'm not sure I would have said duck.
Well, then who cares?
It depends. I would have had to think about it.
That's the most.
I wouldn't have said rabbit though.
That's the most upset I've ever seen Zach. He had it.
Oh
he
man,
you knew it.
He was a split second away from buzzing in and saying duck. You just beat him to it.
Oh.
All right, let's
like we got into a conversation, and then beep.
Oh. You gotta be on your toes, Zach. You gotta be on your toes.
She beat you to it. Hey, she's a savage.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do these. We'll do the last two questions, even though they don't matter.
Yep.
Trish has already won this game.
Man.
But we can't keep these questions away from America. They deserve it. So, question number three: a city council candidate in Wyoming considered dropping out of her race this week after her secret online identity and business were revealed to the public. Her name is Deborah Reno. What is her secret online business? You all you got to do is get close, and I'll give you the points on this one.
Jeez.
City council candidate in Wyoming made national news this week, considered dropping out of her race, decided not to after her secret online identity and business were revealed to the public. What is her secret online business?
Beep.
Yeah.
Adult toys.
Nope.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, it is a good guess. That is a good guess. Anybody else want to take a shot at it?
It's in she was in Wyoming.
Is that anything to do with what I
said?
Yeah,
I mean, you're in the neighborhood. You're in the ballpark. Ooh. You're in the ballpark. The sound of police.
Is she a cam girl?
No, no, no. You guys are everybody's in the vicinity.
We're in the right business.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you're all in the neighborhood. The right, you're all in the neighborhood.
Category.
You're just at the wrong house.
I don't know what else would be online. That's what I'm trying to think.
You want to take a shot? Online business and identity.
And identity.
I mean, you don't got to give me
prostitution.
Nope.
Full on.
Her name again is Deborah Reno. She's running for city council candidate in Wyoming. She does online strip teases under the name Misty Crockett and sells her used underwear and gym shorts.
Tony. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Kim Girl was dang close there, man.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
You know
what?
And I did say you get the points if you're even close.
Yeah, that was close.
These points don't mean anything.
Yeah,
so
I got the meaningless point.
You can have it.
I got the no prize.
You can have the meaningless point.
I got the no prize.
All right. And the tiebreaker, had we have needed, how much time?
The used underwear one.
How are we doing on that?
That's the one. Oh, my gosh.
5 minutes. Okay, good.
What the heck?
All right.
I guess somebody's into that.
Nobody has to buzz in on this one. Everybody gets to take a shot at it. Closest guest wins. Nothing quite like bringing your baby home from the hospital and going, now what do we do? According to a new study, parenting skills don't really come to us instantly. Researchers did a new study and found it takes people how long before they feel like they've got the hang of parenting? How long do first-time parents, long does it take before they feel like they have the hang of parenting?
2 years.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say, but I'll go with 3.
3 years, okay.
I don't know. I'm going to go a little longer here and say 10.
18?
No.
Yeah, they're out the door. It's like,
till they're gone.
I guess I did
10.
It.
3.5 months.
Months.
Oh.
I was gonna say. I was like. I
was like. Hey, she got a
wow.
103 days.
Huh.
Or about 3.5 months.
Okay. Eh.
I feel like that's not according to most parents, because you know, I feel like.
Hey, listen. This is what the survey said. Here, Zach. All right. I'm looking at this results right here.
People lie. that's my go-to.
If the survey says something,
that's like that.
It's true.
Like,
what was the one? I mean, one was obvious.
Spending time in the bathroom hiding from people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How much time do men spend in the bathroom hiding from people? And it was a very low.
Like a day?
Like a year.
In a year.
It was like, what? It's like 7 hours?
7 hours or something.
For the year? I was like, no.
Everybody was guessing. Everybody was guessing, like, I don't know, 100 hours.
Because it's a whole year. It's 365 days.
You guys spend like an hour a day doing that. Well, so you were going.
There's some extra time.
You go into the bathroom to do legitimate business, like take a shower or go potty or whatever.
You stay an extra 10 minutes.
Stay in there.
Sometimes
to hide
15.
From the family and the kids.
No
and just keep
nobody's
a little
yelling
quiet
at you.
Time.
And now you have a phone. Mm-hmm. To entertain you while
right.
you're in there. So it's
right.
like, oh, I lost track of time.
Yeah. Used to be little handheld video games. Just had to hide them in a drawer or something. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
But now you have your phone.
Well, you know, my great-grandfather, he had a sign above the bathroom in his basement, and it literally said, "The Hideaway."
That's there awesome. You go.
It was pretty cool.
See? People lie.
Trish Gazelle. Two
yes.
for two.
Oh, man.
Weird news challenge.
Nice it's beating that, you today.
That, yes. that predictive introduction right there. You ready? Well, I guess we weren't ready.
do we have a little bit of time?
Yeah, we have 4 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Weird news challenge is over, but I still have some weird news.
Oh, yeah, please.
To
share.
Go over here. Here's a story. This story comes out of Dayton, Ohio. A strip club outside of Dayton, Ohio called Sharky's Lounge lost its liquor license last week after police found out they'd been letting guys use food stamps to pay for lap dances.
Oh, my gosh. So that means the recipient.
Yeah. Yes.
That means.
Yeah. The stripper got
like,
food stamps.
Like, I would not accept that. I mean, no.
That's not how you make it rain, y'all.
Right, right.
I mean, food stamps. Wow.
Undercover cops set up a sting last year, and over the course of 5 months, They were able to use food stamps to pay for lap dances and buy illegal drugs. Employees at the club accepted $2,400 worth of food stamps in exchange for sexual services and drugs, including heroin, fentanyl, cocaine, and meth.
Oh, wow.
They have lost their Sharkies. Has lost their liquor license, but they are being allowed to stay open.
Jeez. So wait a minute.
So it's a strip club with no liquor.
I just have so many questions. Yeah. So one lap dance costs $2,000 in food stamps?
No. That's how many food stamps they collected over their 5 months.
The scheme.
How many do they get
in the sting? Yeah. During the police sting, they were able to collect $2,400 worth of food stamps.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's in it for the dancer.
Right.
At that point.
No, food stamp trading business
we
is
We all
a
know
thing.
That the dancers you are can, there to pay can, for college.
But you, yeah.
you can't pay for college.
For
food stamps.
No, for law school. They're all paying for law
gotcha.
School.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
I was in the grocery store once and someone asked me if I would
trade their food stamps for cash or something like that. Yeah. And they're like, hey, I'll give you $20. I'll give you $40 worth of food stamps. Yep. That's a business.
I love this story. I almost used this as one of the questions in the Weird News Challenge. So I will pose it as a Weird News Challenge question to see if you guys can guess it. Rich people are now hiring nannies for what?
Oh, I saw this. And I can't remember.
Their pets?
Darn it.
Not their pets. That's been going on for a long time.
Oh, yeah, duh.
I can't remember.
Themselves.
Oh, that's not weird.
Wait, what?
Like a personal assistant, basically?
Run that back. Run that back. A nanny. Like... Yeah, personal assistant makes sense.
Rich people have started hiring nannies for themselves. They want someone who can do things like help them get dressed and ready in the morning,
ridiculous.
Do their nails,
tuck
them massage
in.
Them, drive their cars.
We're doomed.
There's a nanny,
we are doomed.
There's a nanny staffing company in New York that summed it up by saying wealthy families have a certain way of looking at things. And they provide the service to them.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. All right.
Gotta go. Gotta take a break, but don't go anywhere. More Weekend Report coming next. We're going to talk to our friend Jason Nelson when we get back right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Thank you, Trish Gazelle.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I forgot we had to wait.
Yeah, you gotta wait. No talking until the wow! Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, producer Zach Factor in the studio as well, and Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher, filling in for Chris Arps one more week. Hopefully Chris will be back with us next week. A big thank you to Gabe for all the help you have given us here in these last 3 weeks, my friend. Thank
right
you so
on.
Much.
That's wonderful.
Joining us on the phone right now, another great friend of the show, and that is Jason Nelson, the man behind the Queen Tribute shows and so many other musical groups and shows and everything here in St. Louis for the last freaking 20 years, 20 plus years. Jason.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening? Great to talk with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey guys. How are you?
Everybody's great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have a very busy winter on tap. These next couple months, a lot going on. Let's start with the show on November 15th. Tell folks what's happening on November 15th.
On Thursday, November 15th is the next Somebody to Love tribute to Queen at the Old Rock House.
Yes.
Special event during the week on Thursday night. And we're doing over almost two and a half hours of Queen material. Killer show.
I say it every time. If you've seen Somebody to Love, then no promotion necessary because if you've seen the show, you know how great it is. If you haven't seen the show, you just need to come out one time. If you're at all a fan of that Queen music, which is I don't know how you couldn't be. And then when you're sitting there watching the show, you forget how great that band is, and all the freaking hits that they had. Mm-hmm. And you guys, Jason, the light show, the on stage presentation, just everything that you guys do. It's not like you know, 5 or 6 guys standing on stage. It's standing still, playing their instruments and singing songs. Like, it is a full on production, and it's awesome. It's awesome.
We try to immerse the crowd in it. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We are pulling out tunes this time. Sheer Heart Attack, Death on Two Legs. You know, in addition to, of course, Tie Your Mother Down, sure, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure.
The movie Bohemian Rhapsody, coming out on Friday, November 2nd, is a huge shot in the arm,
yeah,
for all Queen fans.
No kidding.
Especially for somebody to love. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that movie looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, that'll stir up the Queen faithful even more so, and hopefully get everybody out there to the old Rock House on November 15th. Tell people how they can get tickets for that show and learn more about that show if they want to.
That show at oldrockhouse.com, and you can click on their link in the website. It's, I believe, a MetroTix,
mm-hmm,
event.
Mm-hmm.
So either, you know, going on to their website at oldrockhouse.com, or you can find us on a link. I imagine the link I'll share with you on your website,
yeah,
through Somebody to Love.
Yeah,
Facebook page, the event on there.
Yep.
But
yeah, Somebody Love
15.
Yep. Go ahead.
In advance, and you know, it's doors at 7, show at 8 p.m. on Thursday, November 15th.
Yep. And so Somebody Love Facebook page is a great place to get information. OldRockHouse.com, great place. And I also put all that information on my Twitter at TonyColombo971. So you can go to any of those places and get that information and make sure you get those tickets while you can. And then not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but after the November 15th show, you have another great show happening in December. Just real quick, tell folks what's coming up in December.
Yeah, on Friday, December 14th, we're going to be taking our REM tribute,
yes,
Murmur, to Del Mar Hall. And
yes,
we're going to be sharing the bill with a band called U2 Hype. It's fronted by a local celebrity. He calls himself Dano.
Mm-hmm.
But he does an incredible Bono. The band was just rebranded. They used to be Elevation.
Yes.
So now,
yes,
they're U2 Hype. And doors are at 7 p.m. for that show, and show at 8 with U2 Hype going on and playing an hour and a half to, you know, hour and 45 minutes worth of U2 hits. And then our,
yeah,
REM tribute, Murmur.
I love it. That and Del Mar Hall. I've talked about this many times, particularly with you, Jason. That is for me. Del Mar Hall has taken over where Mississippi Nights left off,
as
just being one of my favorite places. The sound, the vibe. More importantly, I think, than anything else. It's probably my favorite club, my favorite place to see live music in St. Louis, Del Mar Hall. And,
yes, it's always a great time.
It really is. And, and that show is going to be amazing. I'm very familiar with Elevation and, Dano, who, like you said, does an amazing Bono. That band has always been an amazing U2 tribute show. So that, with U2 and REM, that is going to be an amazing show in December. And again, as we get closer, we'll be putting all that stuff up on our social media, my Twitter at TonyColombo971. So if you want information now, you can always tweet me and keep your eyes open. We'll be posting all of that information to get tickets to that show. And again, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there could be There might be some special things happening that night that you don't want to miss.
Ooh,
we're just gonna leave it. We're just gonna leave it at that.
Mystery.
So yeah.
Yes, sir.
So can't wait till November 15th. I will be there. I never miss a Queen tribute show. Somebody to Love happening November 15th out at the Old Rock House. Get those tickets now. OldRockHouse.com. Somebody Love on Facebook, or just go to my Twitter. And we'll see everybody November 15th for another Queen tribute show. Jason Nelson, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, my friend. We'll see you real soon.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Zach. Yeah. Have a good day, Gabe.
See ya.
Thanks.
All right. That Queen tribute show is phenomenal. Jason Nelson.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Jason's been doing music in St. Louis for well over 20 years. I remember playing the band MU330 on the Point in the 90s, and Jason was a part of that band back in the day. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff.
And it's the music of Queen. I mean, come on.
It's the music of Queen. The show is coming out. The movie's coming out. I mean, it's just like, it's just this perfect storm of great stuff. And then that REM show, oh my God. REM's probably my favorite band of all time, and so I'm a little bit biased, but REM, U2 in December at Del Mar Hall, I mean, for me, that is a freaking perfect show. As a child of the 90s, Generation Xer, I mean, that just, like, forget about it. That's so freaking perfect. Before we go, let's one more time talk about Gabe. I say it every week. This is the last time you'll be filling in for Chris for a little while.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know, I'm done saying that because I don't know.
Yeah. I promise I did not do anything to Chris.
Yeah. In case this is our last chance to talk about it, one more time, tell folks all about your YouTube show, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube, what you guys do there.
Yeah, thanks. As it said, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Just do a search and you'll find me. I think I'm kind of coming into my own in making these videos, but they're relatively short videos, 10 to 15 minutes of religion, culture, and politics from my particular unicorn-like point of view as a black conservative Christian rocket scientist. So I'm hoping,
get all that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, run it back on the podcast. But I like to touch the issues of the day and even maybe some larger issues and just do a deep dive, but just deep enough to make you question, to make you ask some questions and maybe do a little soul searching and thinking on your own, which is really what I'm wanting to encourage people to do.
I certainly cannot recommend it more. Go and check it out. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Gabe does an absolutely wonderful job. I want to remind you to go to 971talk.com. You can click on podcasts and you can listen to this entire show one more time. If you missed anything, we had Virginia Cruda, our friend from the Daily Caller, in for the entire first hour of the show today. Awesome discussions with Virginia. Mm-hmm. If you missed any of that or you want to hear it again, 971talk.com, and then just click on podcast. You'll see the Weekend Report right there at the top of the list. You'll see all the shows here on the radio station when you click on podcast, and you can listen to the show right there on the website, or you can download the podcast absolutely free, and you can go back and listen again or catch anything that you may have missed. You can also go to 971talk.com/weekendreport to learn more about the show. Check out our YouTube video player there as well. That is going to wrap up another edition of the Weekend Report. Can't wait until we are back here next week at 5:00 for another edition. But until then, for Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher, our producer Zach Factor, my name is Tony Colombo. We'll see you next Saturday at 5 p.m. right back here for another edition of the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.